Hello, my sisters in Christ. How are you all doing? I know you're not going to answer that out loud, but hey, message me. Hit me up. Feel free to reach out. I mean it when I say I want to pray for you. I want to know you as much as you want to be known. Amen. So, my sisters in Christ, it's been a minute. I want to pray. I want to pray for you. I want to pray for me. I want to pray for our sisters in Christ. I just want to pray. So, if you'll get in a posture of prayer for me and with me, let's get into it. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I come to you as humbly as I know how and as boldly as your word says that I can, thanking you for all that you are, Lord God, adoring you, Father, for everything you've done in my life, for it's already been so much and more than enough. I worship you, Lord God, for who you are. I magnify you and I lift you up, O God. I lift my sisters in Christ up, O God, everybody under the sound of my voice, Father God. I plead the blood of Jesus over them. I thank you for a hedge of protection over her, Lord God. Let her heart draw near unto you, Lord God. May she seek you in all that she do. May she walk boldly in the calling that you have on her life, Lord God. May she not fear the arrows that fly by day, Lord God, but that may she know that you are a rewarder of those that diligently seek you, Father God. I lift my sisters up to you and I call them blessed. I call them holy. I call them blameless. Lord God, I call them righteous. I call them wonderful. I call them whole in the name of Jesus. Lord God, do what you do as only you can do it. As we are here together in this moment, Lord God, I ask that the words of my mouth be acceptable in your sight and edifying unto your spirit. May the scripture we cover today, may it take root in our heart, that it may grow in our life and we may be an example unto your throne. It's in your son Jesus's name we pray. Amen. So before I get into the word, I do want to acknowledge and publicly thank a young woman. I did not ask to release her name, and so I won't, but our podcast, ladies, it has received this first monetary blessing. Whoop, whoop. A young woman reached out to me, and she said God had laid it on her heart to sow into the ministry. And I looked at the phone, and I was like, what? That's crazy. Because hear me when I tell you I do this because I genuinely want to share the gospel with my sisters. I genuinely want us to be encouraged in the Lord and I want us to lift each other up. Never, ever did I never conceive the thought that there might be monetary blessings involved. And so, because I know how God works, He laid it on her heart, and so she was obedient, and for that I'm forever thankful. But when I tell you my mind was blown, it was like blown. Because I did not come into this looking for that, but I am thankful, and I received her blessing, and I received it well. And now, for those of you that know me, because I know y'all listening back home, y'all know it's hard for me to receive a physical blessing. You know, I'll take the words of encouragement, but it's hard for me to open my hand and receive a physical blessing. So I was really proud of the mighty long way that God has brought me from, because now the old me would have been like, sis, thank you, but no, I'm good, blocking her blessing. See, you've got to sow a seed for the seed to grow. You get a return on that which you sow. My sister sowed a seed. She's going to reap bountifully for the seed that she's sown. But I could have blocked her blessing. I could have got in the way because of whatever have you may have made me feel, oh, well, I'll hear about this later. See, we gotta release those things, you know, that were once thrown in our face, so it makes us hard to receive blessings years and years down the line. And I finally got to a point of release, and because I've gotten to a point of release, I allowed my sister to sow into me. I allowed her to sow into the ministry. I received it gladly. And I truly believe my father would be pleased. My father in heaven would be pleased because that is something I once struggled with. So maybe you're like me back then. Maybe you struggle with that now, receiving blessings. But blessings are for you. It's God's hand. It's His way of in the natural allowing people to sow into your life. It is a beautiful thing. Do not block others' blessings because Maybe you've had it thrown in your face before, or maybe someone wanted a blessing back, whether it be finances, time, whatever it was. Forgive the person that did the harm in bestowing the blessing and then trying to retract it. But when someone wants to sow into your life, whether it be in the natural or spoken word, allow them to sow into your life as it's pleasing unto God. Allow them to be blessed by the actions of their heart and for their obedience to Christ. Amen. Amen. So the word for you today, my God, girls, it's good. It's good. The word is always good in and of itself. But this one hit like a ton of bricks. And I titled it, "When They Ask You Who You Do It For, Do You Even Know?" Do you know who sent you? What are you doing with your life and why are you doing it? Proverbs 31:30, favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Let me break that down for you. People will love you. People will support you. People will serve you, but sometimes only as it benefits them. And now, if you get caught up in the hype and you start doing what God sent you to do in this world for people, whether it be the accolades or the verbal praise or the awards or the acknowledgement in writing, whether it's just the thankful feeling you get, if you do what God has sent you to do for people, when people start to people, you'll stop doing what God called you to do. My God, that was good. If you do what God sent you to do for people, when people start to do what people do, you'll fall down on what God sent you to do because you'll be absent the natural support. And see, we can't do that. We can't afford to waver. There's a generation of people coming behind us that need us to stand firm in who God called us to be so that they know which way to walk. We're falling down on the job as believers because we're looking for the outward support. And hear me, I'm not telling y'all I'm not guilty of this. The outward support feels good. Sometimes this walk can render you alone in the natural. And so when you get a little group of people that's like, oh, rah, 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 I got you, it's like, oh man, they got me. But there's nothing greater than being had by the Holy Spirit. There's no support like that of our Father. It's unwavering when you walk in righteousness. Uh-oh, what she mean when she say it's unwavering when I walk in righteousness? I mean, I studied in Romans this past week. And in Romans chapter 1, this is the New Testament too, y'all. Take it, hear this. In Romans chapter 1, it says that God gave them over to their reprobated minds, to their lust, because they knew of him and still chose not to serve him. You are responsible for what you know. Once you know a thing, once you know the word, you are responsible how you apply it to your life or the lack thereof. In Romans 1, God gave the men and the women over to the lust of their mind because it was what their hearts truly desired. And he was able to differentiate between their desires of the heart and their actions because they knew the word and still chose differently. Read it for yourself. Read it. Know the word for yourself. Study to show your own self approved. You've got to do what God has called you to do for him, and you've got to do it. Once you know it, you've got to do it wholeheartedly. Come rain, sleet, or snow, hurricane, tsunami, or thunderstorm. No matter who come, no matter who go, you've got to do what you've been called to do so God, he won't give you over to the lust of your flesh. This is Romans 1, y'all. Joshua 24:14 and 15. Now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in faithfulness. Put away the gods that your fathers served beyond the river and in Egypt and serve the Lord. And if it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your fathers served in the region beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Choose you now who you will serve. And see, this is the Old Testament, so we see the gods of your fathers, and this is basically talking about idols. I believe they may have had it easier in the Old Testament in discerning what was an idol because they were building statues. They may have been able to discern better, well, hey, this is not right. Now, hear me, they didn't do it, but they may have been more able to identify that which set them away from God, not apart, but away, because they were building it themselves in the natural. And this is where I feel our generation struggles. We're not building the idols. We're not building the altars. We're not sacrificing the rams to the false gods. So it's hard for us to identify that which is getting in the way of us serving our heavenly master. But we've got to do better because we've been called to do so. We've got to take the stand that I will serve you, Lord, with my whole heart, with gladness and thanksgiving in my heart. I will wake up in the morning and I will put you first. I will surrender my will to yours. I will submit my will to yours. I will do what you'd have me to do. I will say what you will have me to say. I will go where you will have me to go, because it's literally why you were created. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. You have got to serve the Lord God with your whole heart, your mind, and your soul. Because only what you do for the kingdom will last. You'll look up and you'll be of old age and you'll say, well, what have I done with my life? Shoulda, coulda, woulda, done-a. But now the opportunity is gone. But when you live a life in servanthood to our Father, when you get in the 70s, and I know because I sit with my grannies now. I was blessed with grannies, man. One granny lived to be 90-something. One granny lived to be like 91. One granny lived to be like 96. And one of my grannies, she did pass away in her 70s, but I still got to sit with her. And when I would hear my grannies talk about their lives, yes, they shared where they fell short, but the way they would glow when they talked about what they did for our Father. The way the light switch would just flip on in them when they talked about how God changed them. When you asked them who they were, they talked about who they had become through knowing their Father in heaven, not who they had been born as. See, you got to sit with your grannies. You got to sit with the old folks so they can tell you about the change, so you can hear what God brought them through, how he brought them through, and how it changed the composition of their lives. Revelations 3:15 through 17. I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I am about to spit you out of my mouth. You say I am rich, I have acquired wealth, and do not need a thing. But you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. This is the word of God. I'm not saying these things to you in and of my own volition. I didn't write Revelation. But I say it to you because, sis, I've done the 1-2-step. I've been lukewarm. I've chosen the master of this world. I've done the master of this world today and serve Jesus tomorrow. I've done that 2-step, right? But God says, because you are lukewarm, I am about to spit you out of my mouth. You spit something out of your mouth when it disgusts you. You spit something out of your mouth when the texture don't sit right. Ooh, that's nasty. You spit something out of your mouth when it's not the right temperature. When it's not chewed up enough for you to swallow, when you just can't even handle it anymore to try to chew it, maybe it's the taste. You spit it out of your mouth with disgust, and maybe you try it again and maybe you don't. The point to take from this is, I can't be lukewarm. I don't want to disgust God. I want my deeds and the words of my mouth to be acceptable in His sight and edifying to His spirit. You can't be lukewarm, sis. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain. Choose now who you will serve. You really only get one shot at life. You don't get to live again in the natural. You get to live again in the supernatural. Heaven and hell are real. The way you live this earthly life is what determines the next. And I know that's a hard pill to swallow. I encourage you to get into your word. Because there's things we have to do post-salvation. Revelations, he says, I spit you out of my mouth because you are lukewarm. In Romans, he gave them over to their reprobated minds. God's will is for you to see the kingdom of heaven, but you could avoid it. And hear me, you could avoid it. It won't be God taking it away from you. He gave them over to the lust of their mind. But first, they had the knowledge and understanding. They had the wisdom, but they lacked operation. They lacked application. He gave them over to that which they desired. What do you desire, sis? Don't cast your pearls to swine. What's she mean by that? Don't give what is good in you to the pigs of this world. What's that? Your time, your talent? God desires for you to find your place in the kingdom and to walk boldly in the calling that He has on your life. And He desires for you to do it with gladness. I say it all the time, when I serve the world boldly. There's no way I'm not going to serve the kingdom of God boldly. And listen, that don't mean you got to serve the way that I serve. Walk in your calling, walk in your anointing, but do it boldly. Don't allow this world to push down what God has put in you when it comes to you doing it for the kingdom. Because see, now when you serve the world, no matter in which way you do it, people celebrate it. And sometimes it could seem that, oh, I need to tuck down and push down who God called me to be because I don't want to make someone else uncomfortable. But they were comfortable when you did it for the little prince of this world, the enemy. You can't do what God has called you to do for man. You can't afford to be lukewarm. I can't afford to be lukewarm. You can't afford, I can't afford, we can't afford to not make it known who our master is. One of my mentors said to me this week, and I was like, flabbergasted. When you think about foreigners, you have an ambassador and you have a spy. Both of them will move among dignitaries and high-ranking people, but only one of them makes themselves known. Are you the ambassador for Christ, or are you a spy? Do people know when you're in a room who you serve? Do they know that you serve the Lord? They should. That's my word. That's the word God gave me for the women of God. Choose now who you will serve. Do it with gladness and thanksgiving in your heart. Fear the Lord in trembling and in truth. Do what God has called you to do for God and God alone. I love you. I want to pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, bless my sister. Bless this word that it take root in their hearts, Lord God, as it has taken root in mine over the years. And allow us to be examples unto your throne of grace, Father God. Forgive us our sins and our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us, Lord God. Let us not fall victim to temptation, but deliver us from evil, Lord God, because there is no temptation that you have not created a way out of. That's your word. I thank you for peace that passes all understanding and joy unspeakable. We love you, Lord. We honor you and we serve you. And it's in your son Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Sis, until we meet again, hydrate, honey. It is his will for you. Get in his word for you. Amen. All right, sis, I'm out.